Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome back to Table Manners. We are here. Yes. We have a little guest today. Do you want to say hello? You want to say hi? My little girl is waving to you all. We are here sitting in my sitting room and sipping on some champagne to toast the end of this season. Thank you to everyone who has listened to us, who's tried to give us a listen. If this is your first one, then go back. We've got lots and lots of brilliant episodes for you to listen to. Well, we think they're quite good. But thank you so much. It's been so fun. So this is going to be the end of... Oh, I know, it's sad, isn't it? I know, you don't want us to go? No, yeah. She's shaking her head. No, she doesn't. But, yeah, cheers, Mum. Cheers.
Cheers, darling.
You've done really well.
Thank you, darling.
I will be touring the States and Canada for 5 weeks, and we're going to try and do some podcasts out there. So if you have any suggestions, please let me know. Some may be with my mum because she's going to be with me in LA, but I will be on my own for a few weeks. So if you don't mind it just being me on my own, if you've got any suggestions for the East Coast, I'd love to hear them. In fact, we'd love to hear more suggestions for the UK, Europe, takes around the world. I'd really love to interview somebody in Fiji.
Well, I've got two giraffes on the telly.
Well, it was funny that you asked, Mum. We have a guest tonight that you don't
know. Who's a giraffe?
No. No. I'm glad you found that funny.
I've got two giraffes on.
Well, I thought it would be quite interesting to show you who we've got on,
I'd love to.
On the podcast.
Because I don't know her.
Okay, you ready?
I am. Oh, my God. She's following hunters.
Eating its prey, but we blame a human for killing its prey. I feel like an outsider.
If you hadn't have shot him in the first place, we wouldn't be in this position.
What would it take to change your mind about something you really believe in? It's like cabin fever, you know, I can't leave.
Her name is Stacey Dooley, yeah. And from what I know of her, because if I'm being honest, I hadn't watched any of her programs until...
So how did you know about her?
I had heard this name, and I've heard more and more about her in the past year. I believe she's an award-winning journalist, and she's a young woman. She's been doing it for a good 5+ years. It started from her being on a program, which was one of those like factual entertainment programs about people that consumed quite a lot. They invited a few kind of really big consumers. I guess she was buying lots of designer. I don't know. We can ask her. And they took them to a sweatshop in India.
Yeah.
And people loved her. She's really likable. I've watched a few of her documentaries now, and she's really likable. And she's got this kind of very personable, very skillful approach to interviewing people. She's kind of like the female Louis Theroux, but a bit more like the girl next door. She's from Luton. We also have quite a lot of similarities, Mum.
What do you mean?
Well, she started her life as a perfume counter girl, much like me. We both wanted to... I don't even know if she wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to be a journalist.
Oh, yeah.
She does programmes that I kind of always thought that maybe I was going to want to do if I'd carried on doing journalism. You know, it's about the people. It's about stories. And I do like that it's mostly about women and children. I think that's really important. And
no, I'm looking forward to meeting her.
You decided on this menu. Do you want to elaborate?
a friend had made some chicken stuffed with tomatoes, parsley and olives and garlic with crushed roasted potatoes.
But done in the oven. So you boil them, you crush them, so they're all fluffy and broken up. And then you put them in the oven.
With oil.
So they kind of become a bit like a roast potato, but a fluffy, kind of crusty, delicious, lovely. I'm going to serve it with green beans and spinach. And then the last time I was set the task of cooking was for George Ezra, and that ended up with Deliveroo.
Yep.
I don't think my dessert is perfect.
What's it called, Jess?
It's called a tiramisu.
And why is that, Jess?
Because I was overzealous and I didn't have an electric whisk and I didn't whisk the stuff enough.
I don't think it matters.
The cream and the mascarpone. You know how much I like cream, and I maybe put a tad too much cream in, and I'm just not patient. However, I did taste it just to check, and it's pretty delicious. So if I was going to enter MasterChef, I think I would have gone through, and they would have said you need to work on your technique and your presentation.
Yeah.
I've been to Barry's Boot Camp today, so I'm going
to eat a lot.
I'm going to eat loads.
What was Barry's Boot Camp like?
I nearly threw up.
Why?
I kind of smashed the first round on the treadmill, because you go on the treadmill and then off the treadmill and do floor stuff and alternate. I kind of smacked it because I just kind of wanted to impress this beautiful woman next to me. And then I was done in, and then you had two more goes on it. Didn't do so well, but saw about her numbers on her speed and thought, well, I'm doing more than her, so I'm kind of still smacking it. And then after the second round, she said, oh, don't watch my numbers. I'm 7 months pregnant. And I felt like shit after that. She looked amazing.
What was she doing at Barry's Boot Camp?
Looking amazing and keeping fit.
Why wasn't she just eating chocolates and sitting at home?
Because she's not us, Mum.
That's the problem.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So, Stacey Dooley coming up on Table Manners. So, Stacey Dooley,
yes.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, girl, thank you for having me.
I have to say, you've commented on my house very kindly.
House is beautiful.
I have to say, I think I've been looking at your Instagram and you're doing your flat up, aren't you?
Well, I have sort of turned into one of those bores that's got nothing better to do than take pictures of the wall. Take pictures of the wall, take pictures of the rugs or furnishings, anything that's sort of semi aesthetically pleasing.
I gave it a tin of tuna. Fuck off.
What's another tin?
Is it your cat?
No,
it's not.
I just felt sorry for it and now I'm an idiot.
And now he loves you.
Now he loves me.
Bernie, I've got a dog, bulldog Bernie. I'm totally, truly, completely, wholeheartedly obsessed with him. But he's such a fucking pain in the arse.
How old is he?
Year and a half. So actually old enough to know, but you know what I mean? It's sort of shook me.
Who's looking after him now?
My boyfriend.
Your boyfriend. I have to say, we have a few similarities.
Oh, girl, tell me.
We both have a Sam.
We do both have a Sam. Can I say, this is sort of going to sound semi-stalkerish, but I remember watching a video. I don't know whether or not it was on your Twitter or Insta, but I think your fella was doing...
reviews?
A review of your album. And I thought, my God, he's really... I loved him for that. I thought it was really funny. It really made
me laugh. I don't wear a big gold S on my neck, though, like you do.
I know. This is sort of... I know, this is...
You're betrothed.
Plastic. Just in case that's... I know.
Hello, darling. So you've got a Sam.
Got Sams,
how long have you been going out?
ST and I have been together 4 years.
What do you call him?
ST, Sam Tucknot.
Oh.
ST.
Could call mine SB.
We could call him SB.
Yeah.
Well, my granddad, his initials are BJ. So I don't call him that because it's my grandfather and it's totally...
my daughter's a JCB, so she's fucked
a
too.
JCB.
Yeah, big bulldozer.
Two babies.
No, just one.
Just one.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's 18 months, like your Bernie.
Just like my son, Bernie.
Yes, exactly.
My son.
We also had jobs on perfumery counters.
Oh, we did. I was at Luton Airport.
I was Peter Jones on the men's fragrance.
Sure, sure. But the men's fragrance I find quite easy because they'll buy anything.
Well, it was a Saturday job.
Right?
They will lich buy anything.
I said, I fancy a guy that wears this, and it sorted me out and they'd all get it.
Say no more.
Exactly.
Here we go. You'll have lots of sex for the foreseeable future.
Exactly. I also went to Sussex University, so I know Brighton
a bit. Brighton,
I also wanted to be a...
journalist.
Stop.
An investigative journalist. I did a diploma and everything.
I can get you a job. I mean, you're a fantastic established, but if you don't want to be a singer.
Well, I honestly, that's what I was going to do.
No.
And the, my father is an investigative journalist.
Really?
Yeah, on BBC.
Stop.
And yeah, but he...
John Ware. He's a bit, did lots on Northern Ireland.
Oh my God, I'm working in Northern Ireland now.
This is what we need to talk about. Girl, this is brilliant. Okay. Please tell us what you're doing.
So... my story is sort of, this is really, really interesting. So essentially, Northern Ireland's a really fascinating part of modern Britain, you know, and there's this kind of shift at the minute. I've been there a couple of times now, and we're based in Belfast, but we're back and forth in Derry.
Mm. And Derry, Londonderry. You have to call it. Yeah. You can't just call it Derry.
There is Derry, darling. No. Derry is, there's two different places.
So it's called Londonderry, but Londonderry. The Republic, so the...
Are you talking about Londonderry or Derry?
I'm talking about... Londonderry, but
you call it both.
They call it Derry. So the side we're on the Catholic side, and we've been speaking to some Republicans, and they'll call it Derry. It's so, that's the thing. Like, even when you're working out there, you sort of realise that there's a certain thing that, you know, things are so delicate in certain areas. You've got to be so mindful of what you're saying, who you're saying it to, X, Y, Z. Anyway, so I've been back and forth, and there's been a sharp rise in the number of punishment attacks, sort of paramilitary style punishment attacks, right? So there's lads sort of playing up, being a nightmare, sort of, you know, causing havoc, sort of pinching cars, dealing weed, robbing people, sort of ASBO behaviour, serious behaviour, you know, terrorising the community, whatever. But lots of the neighbours around that area don't trust or don't feel like the police represent them. They don't, there's no relationship there, no working relationship. So some people will go to these paramilitary groups and say, look, it's been a fucking nightmare.
Sorry,
and
my hello, Sam,
are you
my right? Sam's
nice
just
to see you, Sam.
This
how
is
are
Stacey.
How'd you do?
She's got a Sam too.
He's a lot shorter.
Stacey wears a big S on
He's it. A lot shorter, but that's for me.
Oh yeah, shit.
I thought it was. Sorry, I thought it was Sam.
No, but if it, yeah, if I'm feeling sort of extra romantic, it is.
I forgot
Sam,
your name, Stacey.
But
yeah.
I am
sorry. Cool, carry
but
on.
But my nan used to buy me Tracy hairbands because they never had Stacey, you know, in Benidorm.
Oh,
so
that's amazing.
Stacey, Tracy.
We'll call you Stacey,
Stacey
tonight.
It's a really interesting story. So the sort of these neighbours are going to these paramilitary groups and sort of saying, you know, you've got to sort him out. And instead of going down the sort of traditional justice route, sort of standard justice system, they're giving them an appointment and they're saying that you have to be here at 4 o'clock and we'll shoot you just above your kneecaps. So if you come to the first appointment and you sort of play ball, they'll give you a flesh wound. If you don't, they'll go through your kneecaps. And so loads of lads...
They always love kneecapping.
Crazy. I mean, it's gone on for years. It's gone on for decades, of course. But there's been this rise again. So it's like, what on earth is going on?
And hold on, this is their mothers telling them that you've got to, like, punish them, is it?
No, so it's like neighbours...
Who get fed up, noisy.
Got it.
Yes, exactly right. But then what's interesting is the appetite for these paramilitary groups... You know, you read online and you're sort of, instead of condemning the behaviour, they'll be saying, well, he didn't get, you know,
but
didn't
it's
get
always
it for
been,
saying his prayers
but
at night.
But that's Ireland, isn't it? It's always been the same, it's tribal, it's always been the same way. Pardon? It's
shouldn't we say Northern Ireland, not Ireland? I don't
world.
Know.
I mean, some
well,
people
Northern
say Northern
Ireland.
Ireland, some people say the north of Ireland, depending on what
the
side
north,
you're on.
I remember when I did the Radio 1 Big Weekend, it was in Derry, Londonderry, yeah. and they were very adamant that you had to acknowledge cool. both. And so it...
and it kind of, hello, everyone.
Yeah, hello, everyone. Exactly. But
no judgment here.
You want to respect it. You want to,
sure.
of course. I've got so many questions.
Okay.
Partly because this was the job that I wanted to do.
I'm sure you'd have done a much better job. I sort of fell into this. It was totally unorthodox.
Well, yeah, please explain, because I have to say, my mother hadn't heard of you.
No, you wouldn't have. No,
no, because I don't watch BBC
No,
3.
You're not missing much, and I'm very underwhelming, actually.
Shut up.
No, you're not. You're but absolutely gorgeous. I'm completely in love with you.
I told you this was going to happen.
So who is she? And now
she
I love
she.
You.
She
who
did
is she?
Love her.
She did. She
we
went,
love
who
her.
Is she? And I said, and forgive me, Stacey, I had heard your name for a few years, and maybe I don't watch that much BBC Three. I don't have that much time to be watching TV.
You're a
I watch
working
Box.
Mother with a beautiful, massive home and a chicken to roast.
We can go through some wallpaper colours if you need to, you know, wall colours. But I have watched a few of your documentaries now, more than a few, and I'm crazy about you, and I'm also so impressed with how you disarm very difficult
situations. And, you know, you, from what I gather, and please correct me, you didn't, I don't know, did you want to always be a journalist?
No, you're totally right. That's so kind, Jessie. Thank you. So basically, yeah, it was very unconventional. So 10 years ago, so when I was 19, I'd just turned 20, I'm 31 now. So 10 years ago, I took part in a series called Blood, Sweat and T-Shirts. Mm-hmm. So the premise...
Which production company did that?
Do you know, it was Ricochet.
Okay,
you know
Ricochet? Right. No, I don't. I thought maybe it would be Love Productions who... I was a PA for the creative director.
Right.
So I thought...
I know it
was like a factual entertainment programme, right?
That's exactly right. So, yeah, the premise was really straightforward. It was like they were looking for six consumers who were really into sort of fast, throwaway fashion. You know, when T-shirts were cut the quiz.
Yeah.
That was being glamorised, that scene, sort of where it cut the times and then sort of like in the trash.
I was in Primark on Brighton High Road, whatever it is. I don't even know. Western Road.
Yes.
Was it Western Road?
Yeah.
I was at university in Brighton at that time and I would... have the most awful clothes, but I would get different clothes every week. And it would be, you know, a check shirt for £3.
Oh, that's
And I wasn't thinking about where it was coming from.
Yeah.
And so that was, we're pretty similar ages. So tell me what they did.
Yes, exactly. So they selected six of us. And do you know what, to be totally honest, like I was so lucky to even get to that point because, you know, thousands went through and they were desperate to be on it. And they took, you know, selected six of us and sent us off to India to understand the enormity of, you know, the kind of clothing industry.
Yeah, because did you know that you were going to be kind of embarrassed or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, well, so it was interesting. So I was at Luton Airport and I'd left school at 15. I had no GCSEs, sort of didn't go to college, didn't go uni. And I had no real appetite, actually, you know, to kind of carve myself out a career. Then this opportunity came along.
What do you mean it came along? What did they do?
So they were handing out flyers and my mother found the flyer. And I think she was desperate to sort of sort me out, really. And it said, it was very simple. It said, you know, do you like fashion? Do you like travel? Do you like telly? And it was like, yeah, tick, tick, tick. And so ring this number, rang the researcher. And interestingly, now I know how telly works. I can imagine they were just sort of rubbing their hands in glee when they heard me because I just was totally clueless, you know, hugely naive, had no real sort of understanding of the wider world, really. And, I was chosen to go to India. We went for a month and it was, you know, it was very
so
kind of...
So you saw the sweatshops?
I really did. But we sort of lived, you know, as a worker would. So we were working sort of 14, 16 hours a day. We were all shitting ourselves. Everyone had bugs. So, you know, we weren't keeping anything down. We were starving, covered in mozzie bites. And
that's
just
what
that
I
kind of realised that...
to be honest. I need a bloody bug. Right, anyway, carry on.
And yeah, and then it came from there. So I sort of did semi-well on that, I suppose, and then...
But can I just ask
no,
you...
No, semi-well, she says.
No, you
she
did
so
brilliantly.
Well that they gave her own
But what
TV
I want
series.
To know is, did your parents go to university? Or,
no.
So what do your dad and mum do?
So my father's dead. So my father's not on the scene anymore, but my mother, she worked at M&S. And now she works at TK Maxx. So
right.
No journalists in the family.
So was she ambitious for you? Have you got brothers and sisters?
Yeah,
too?
So I've got a little sister. She's a sweetheart. We're totally opposite ends of the spectrum. So she's sort of painfully shy, a real sort of academic, real intellect, very booky, but a real introvert. But we've got different fathers.
Okay. But you just weren't interested in studying.
No, it was weird, Matt. Like, I enjoyed school, but I just... You know what it's like when you're sort of 15? You just sort of... I thought I knew it all and I had no desire to kind of push on or kind of dream big. And that wasn't... You know, my mother always said, you know, you've got to do your absolute best and sort of, you know, you want
to
sort
That's
of
what I
go
used
elsewhere
to say to you,
and you want
but
to travel
you were very
and you want to...
Privileged.
We were privileged,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. They went to private school for yeah. secondary
and,
school.
And yeah. My dad was a really established journalist for the BBC and it was, you know, quite lucrative, I think. And, you know, you worked so hard, so I got the work ethic from you and whatnot. But like, but so you started, you how did it feel when you got that first series? Were you petrified or you were bang up for it?
Do you know what? I think I'm delighted it worked out how it did because I didn't know anything. I was so ignorant. I didn't understand the TV world and what it involved. And so I think I went into it with no real expectations. And I think that's the best way to be because then whatever happens is a bonus. Mm-hmm. So I got my own series off the back of Blood, Sweat. Mm. And it's, I think it's easy to shine when you're in a group, but it's less hard to carry a series on your own.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's more difficult. But they did well. They rated consistently well, weirdly. And it was
so
weird.
Well, some that you've people, been doing it for 10 years
yeah,
now, basically.
Yeah, but some people hated me. Some people despised me. They couldn't understand. You know, I had the audacity to sort of turn up in this very middle class, middle-aged, established, sort of traditional journalist world. What the fuck is she doing here? And other people, like, oh my God, she's like a breath of fresh air. Mm. So, you know, there were mixed reviews.
Have they ever invited you on Panorama?
Yeah, so
yeah, because sometimes they invite guest people on
yeah.
to present something that they would see. Exactly,
have you? Yeah. So you've done a Panorama.
So I've spoken. Yeah, I've done a couple of bits for One, Current Affairs, Newsnight, Radio 4. Them kind of, you know, long term current affairsy.
How does it feel scenes. Being kind of the voice of the people? I hope you don't mind. You're a kind of the girl next
yeah.
door,
Yay.
The working class. Hero.
Wow.
And a female voice, a really, you know, and to be, did you find Newsnight and Radio 4 intimidating?
Yeah.
Or was it?
You find it daunting, don't right. you? I think, but you know, it's just not, it just wasn't, it. I mean, it is now, but it wasn't my world. And so you do feel like you've got to prove yourself all of the time, you know? And I think that's fair enough at the start of your career because, you know, you haven't been around for ages and ages and you do need to learn. But I think that goes with anything you do. You know, when you work in a shop, you don't know how the till works. You don't know where the stock is. You know, you don't know how to sort of...
Yeah. But I suppose in the old days, the BBC was established on people who went to public school.
For sure.
And Oxford mm-hmm. and Cambridge.
And it's still very much, it's still like
it's
that,
still
to be honest.
It's still a bit like
it
that. Very... And they're now trying, and it's mostly men.
Yeah, it yeah. is. And they all wear beige chinos. I mean, I've got
beige. I mean, you do have
I've
beige.
Beige
I mean,
flares on today,
they're
so I
fabulous.
Can't really give it. But it's
there
a real
many
uniform.
Women. There are hardly any women journalists.
Do you know, I think it is improving slowly, slowly. So the head of, it's a BBC One controller, Charlotte, she's a woman and she's brilliant. The head of current affairs, she's a woman. There's lots of women working now on Newsnight. There's lots of women quite high up in BBC Three. So I think slowly we're getting there, but it's very white. It's still very white and it's still...
Fucking cat.
Lots of women. Is he in the house?
No, piss off me.
Well, Jesse, shut the window. Yeah,
I can hear
thing.
Him, but I can't see him.
Yeah.
I gave you the tuna, fuck off.
You've had the can.
From what I gather of you, you focus a lot on child issues
yeah.
and young people's issues, and especially female.
Yes.
Kind of, you know, female issues, and you have a book.
I do, yeah.
Women
that's
on
crazy,
the front line.
Man. Yeah, yeah. I never, ever, ever, and just honestly, I never thought I would write a book. Like, you know, that it feels so enormous, and you're sort of back and forth, up and down a couple of times over the years. Will we, won't we, should we, you know, what have we got to say? So it felt, you know, I've been doing it for the decade. It felt like a bit of a kind of moment, and it felt like actually maybe we should just sort of stop, you know, take a minute and reflect on the girls that we've met over the past 10 years, because they have been utterly remarkable. Like, I can't tell you, like, and so varied, you know, girls in Honduras.
Yes, I watched that. That poor woman with her amputated.
That's what I'm saying. Like, imagine having and so still so considered and so tactile and so kind and so. Brilliant. And, you know, she had her leg hacked off a month prior to
meeting
her.
By her husband, because she said, why don't you leave me if you don't want... Or why don't you let me leave, she
yeah.
said.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to let her.
Mum, both her feet and her legs were cut off, and he wasn't going to be... Was he in prison? But he was going to get let out 2 years
yeah.
later.
A couple of years they were looking
for
at.
For GBH, I think.
So, it's just insane. Like, Honduras, we were there because... the femicide rate, I mean, it was just, they were hemorrhaging women and we didn't understand why. You know, there are hostile places all over the world. Why Honduras specifically? And met this girl, Heidi, and it was just painfully sad. Like, so depressing. He'd hacked both her legs off. But you've got to remember, right, you know, if you shoot someone, I think that's a moment of absolute madness and, you know, a huge mistake. But it's the pulling of a trigger, isn't it? It takes a couple of seconds. I think if you're going to hack through
that's
both
angry,
legs,
vindictive.
I mean that would take a long time. You know,
it's
you would
like
be
all
thinking,
those honour killings, isn't it?
It's just,
and also, I came back from Bangladesh. I don't know if you're doing anything about the
I've
Rohingya
never been
crisis.
To Bangladesh, but yeah.
But I mean, that's what they're doing. They're macheting children, women, men, and that exactly what you say. It takes a while for you to get through a bone. You've been all over the world: Japan, Honduras. Congo, you've heard so many horrific stories.
is there a point? I mean, I saw what she. I mean, I haven't watched all of them,
no.
So, but I saw you get really upset with the leader of the anti-abortion camp, Jeff.
Yes, Jeff.
You really liked him. You really liked him. He was likeable. His daughter was lovely.
Yes.
But you got really frustrated.
Yes.
And angry at him, and you started crying.
Yes.
And, you know, just from my experience of going into the camps when I've been to these refugee camps in Macedonia and Bangladesh and where else did I go? Cameroon. But I'm awful. I start crying all the time. And then you... I don't know whether you get this thing where you're like...
Oh, my God, I feel like a dickhead.
I feel like a dickhead crying. It's not about me.
Yeah, I know.
Or... But... have I become desensitized to this because I'm not crying?
Yeah,
you must have so many stories.
You're so, so on the money. And do you know what? To be honest with you, you can't win. Because at the start of my career, you know, I was really inexperienced. And I just was so, just very simply, I was so gutted for these people because their circumstances were so depressing and so harrowing. And like felt really helpless. It was like, what on earth can we do? Like this feels so enormous. My God. And you would just be, you know, in bits. You'd just be crying all the while. But then you'd be like, fuck, this isn't my time. Like this is, you know, this is about giving her the platform. And then you can't breathe. You know, you can't get your words out because you're so moved. And then when you hold it together and when you think, you know what, I've got to make sure that I've got this really clear and it's concise and the pieces to camera make sense, and you're not crying, you think, don't turn into a hard bastard. Like, don't, you know, don't lose sight of the fact that this is their reality. I know that feeling. It's like...
But didn't you want to punch them in the face? You see, I'd go around... I'm such an angry person. I'd go around and whack them one.
And
that's why you don't have series after series and
good
get
job,
awards.
But I would actually want to hit them.
Sometimes, you know...
I'd just say, fuck you. Who are you to stop
and
someone?
And then they wouldn't talk to you, Mum.
I mean, we've got lots more to talk about, but
can
I want
to ask you something?
Yes.
Me or Stacey? I do have a platter.
And I'll cut the chicken up.
Do you think Stacey cares about a platter?
No, I mean, but that's how you have to do it.
Okay, fine.
And you put all the stuff on the top.
I'm very used to being served things on a platter. So if we could keep that up.
No, only...
Luton, we're always eating on
a big plate then.
I've got loads.
Platter.
No, only silver, sorry. No, sorry, ceramic. But Mum...
that one on the right.
We are going to talk about a bit about food. This is... supposed to be a food podcast, but I do have so many questions.
Die for food.
Really?
I'm a massive... I mean, do you know what? I'm not particularly fussy. I think because I travel so much, I'll eat anything.
Right.
Except one time when I was in the Ivory Coast, they said, would you like some chicken? I said, yeah, I'll have some chicken. And then I promise you, it's a true story. I saw them stuffing dynamite down the ground.
You're joking.
I thought, I'm not getting fucking chicken. I'm getting rat. And about 4.5 hours later, this meat came out, and you know they didn't have anything, so you're sort of delighted that they've kind of, you know,
made
included you
effort, yeah.
So I think I ate rat.
How did it taste?
I know everyone says this, but it was just like chicken. So I did.
That's good to know.
So if you have a skin or we've got no chicken, we could just go
to plenty of happy
London
rats.
Town. I mean,
amazing.
Get colour rats.
Whilst Mum sorts out the chicken,
just tell me where
we're at. We're boiling the green beans and we're sauteing the spinach.
When do you want to eat?
I want to eat now. I'm starving.
Okay.
And
I'm
drunk
hungry.
3 glasses of champagne. She's I'm going to be like, a
hilarious Stacey.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So, So you say you're a massive food. You love food.
Yes, I love eating.
When you say you love food, are you? Would you call yourself a foodie? Do you like to eat out? Do you like to cook? Like, what's, you know?
I'm a shit cook. I'm a useless cook. So yeah, really not very helpful. That's why I haven't offered to help, because I will burn your home down to the ground.
Okay.
So I eat out quite a lot, but I suppose that's because I'm quite lazy and I've never got any food in the house. I never do a shop, so I should do more of that. But yeah, there's
nothing. So where
I
do you eat
in.
Out? Like Brighton, where's the spots that you like?
So there's a really nice restaurant called Ridland Fins. They do.
Wasn't there when I was at uni.
Really lovely.
Think.
There's two. There's one down the seaside. There's one in the Lanes. There was a guy who was in the Lanes that was a bit arsey, and it was a bit kind of, felt a bit kind of clicky, but I think he's gone. So
oh, perfect.
Now it's perfect. It's
everyone
safe to
please
go.
Go to the Lanes.
There's another lovely Italian called, I think it's called Chin Chin. C-I-N-C-I-N.
Where's that?
Sin Sin or Chin Chin. That's
don't
embarrassing.
Know. Chin
Chin. That's lovely. That's in the Lanes as well.
Okay.
I
used to eat quite a lot of hippie food. It was a lot of hummus and grains when
there's
I was
a
there.
Lot of quinoa.
Yeah.
Is it quinoa?
Quinoa, quinoa, what, potato, potato, whatever you want, Stacey.
Quinoa, it's very, very earth, wind and fire. But I sort of don't mind that every now and then, but I do love meat. So there are a couple of places, they're sort of vegetarian heavy, so it's not
does
like
Sam,
that.
Does Sam cook?
No. So Sam and I basically live off...
Deliveroo?
So we sort of... And it's not,
mate,
no, it isn't
do.
Great, I know. But he will... So if he's cooking, he'll cook like a chicken, a sweet potato and a bit of broccoli, which is fine. If I can cook
if
a roast.
Training
I mean, yeah, I mean, he's
Iron
super
Man.
Fit. He's
right,
super, super fit. But not annoyingly so. He's not sort of like muscles, like don't eat any
got
shit.
It,
you know, he
it.
Does... He also loves Cocoa Pops. He's got this thing where like whatever, no matter how full we are or what we've eaten or if we've had dinner, he always eats cereal straight after.
Please help yourself.
Thank you.
Right, so we've got chicken with parsley and black olives and beef tomatoes roasted with lemon and garlic. And then we've got kind of bashed up new potatoes over there that have been kind of roasted. Then we've got underdone green beans and some spinach.
I'll just help myself.
I feel like it was the first day of... No, please, that's the best. The first day of spring, really, today, it felt like, didn't it?
It did. The sun was
so
out.
It was 15 degrees.
Was
gorgeous.
It that
warm? Death row meal. Come on, then.
Okay. Probably, I mean, I'm so good at making a roast dinner. My timings are like A1 spot on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Any
I'm
tips?
Perfect. You know, you're meant to, well, you probably know because we're eating the roast now, but you're meant to bash the roast potatoes. You know that after you've boiled them. And then, like, throw garlic all over them. What's that herb? Rosemary. Yeah. Yes, I'm very Nigella Lawson when it comes to roast. Uh-huh.
Do you like chicken the best?
I love chicken and I also love beef, but I don't like it when it's fatty.
Me neither.
No, I'm not into that. I fucking end up cutting half it off. So roast dinner would probably be my first choice if that wasn't available. I really like Vietnamese.
Yeah, I do too.
Do you get that a lot in Brighton?
You know, you're supposed to call faux fur.
Fur.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But you sound like a dickhead. Can I have
some
fur?
Well, this is it. And as if you're going to say, like, to the girls, should we go and get some fur?
Fur.
I know.
So, on all your trips, where do you think the best food is?
Japan. I love Japan. Have you been to Japan?
Yeah, I went
did
on my honeymoon.
Did
loved
you?
It.
Did you, what, go to what, you went to Tokyo?
Yeah, actually, that programme, the police got involved, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They kept me for a couple of hours. So... That was my own fault, I think. I think I'd got too complacent. So I had just come back from Iraq and then I went off to Japan to make a documentary about the obsession with youth over there, I suppose, in some circumstances. And
to give some examples, Stacey, because not what everyone knows, kind of superheroes are rapists there and stuff like that.
So it's interesting. It's just so interesting. Japan is like this kind of... There's this saying, this is a good example. So there's this saying in Japan that no one wants Christmas cake, right? So after the 25th, no one wants Christmas cake. So basically, once you're over 25, you're not particularly attractive, you know, you're not particularly sexual, you know, there's this...
Why does Christmas cake come into that?
I think because it's the 25th of December.
Oh, sorry, right, got it.
It's about being over 25.
I thought it was because, like, a Christmas cake takes a what? It's a bit old, isn't it? And fruity. But carry on.
So there is just this, you know, not everyone, obviously, but there is this obsession with youth. And it's like, the younger you are, the more kind of attractive you are, and not in a cute way, in a sexual way. Mm. And so there are lots of kids working in these bars that are like serving these grown men drinks, and they're talking about fucking weird shit like sex and, you know, kind of anal and all, and it's just very, very peculiar. It's really bizarre. So anyway, I went over there, made a documentary about this, the sexualization of children, and this gang got involved. They sort of saw that we were filming some of their girls and, you know, sort of kicked off massively, started pushing me, started pushing my director. My director's a dream, Joyce. She's a pal of mine. She was shooting, they sort of smashed the camera back, you know, push Joyce, push me. And then sometimes you can feel when it's sort of empty, it's like empty threats, but this felt like particularly hostile. I thought, oh, it's going to kick off. They rang the police. They must have had a relationship with them, an existing relationship. The police came in seconds. And like sort of instead of sort of shouting at them for kind of manhandling us, yeah, they were like, give us, sort of
that's
stopped
crazy
us for
because
2 hours.
In Japan they're very respect. It's all about respect.
I know.
Kind of tradition. No,
have you seen what they're selling vending machines?
I know. Dirty Christ. Knickers of schoolgirls.
Yeah. It's just very foreign to us.
Do you feel like you have a real social responsibility now, and that you kind of you've adopted as you've kind of learnt more about the world? You just feel like, because there's only so many battles you can fight. Yeah. You know, you're doing an amazing job at telling the stories.
I think you're so right. Like, I feel like you have to be realistic. Like, I'm under no illusion that I'm going to kind of, you know, swoop in and, you know, make everything right. And, you know, you can't be that kind of earnest, like, finger-waggy kind of martyr, because it's not realistic. You know, what you've got to do is, like, work really hard and work on stories that you really feel passionately about, and then just try and raise, like, a little bit of awareness. And I think that's, you know, that's something to be hugely proud of. This food's amazing. Thank you.
I didn't cook it.
Thank you, Stacey.
Is this you?
I do.
10 out of 10,
I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's definitely better than what we're going to have for dessert, so I'm really happy.
What's the dessert?
It's called tiramisu, because it didn't really set, but it still tastes exactly like a tiramisu.
My boyfriend calls me Stacey Hooley.
Stacey Hooley.
When they say, oh, it's really nice to meet you, he says, oh, Stacey Hooley.
Oh.
Who are you? Tiramisu.
I want to know, because, you know, we're doing a podcast and we like to take it beyond food.
Yes.
And you do have a knack of being able to get the answers out of people. And I know, do you think it's just, is there a talent with, can you give me any tips, basically?
Of getting information out of people?
Yes.
I think, this has worked for me a couple of times, I think there has to be, irrespective of what they've done or who they are, or, you know, where they're coming from, I think there has to be a certain level of respect, you know, because you're throwing yourself into their world, and you might sort of fiercely disagree, sort of fundamentally disagree, you know, you have barely anything in common, but they have given you the time to talk to you. And so I think you have to just, you can't go in sort of shouting and bawling. And I've learned that because I did at the start. I was so opinionated. And it's great to have opinions, and it's great to sort of, you know, stand true to, you know, stand to what you believe in and the rest of it. But you've got to let the other person speak. Mm. And you can't understand where they're coming from if you don't give them that platform. So I think it's just very calm, you know, very kind of chilled, sort of very neutral at the start. And I think when you've got to ask tricky questions, I'm quite tactile. So if I've got to sort of go in with a real blower, I sort of just touch the elbow.
You are quite tactile. You do. You've touched my shoulder quite a few times. What do you want from me?
What do you want? I've already fed you. But I love my job.
Do you think it helps that you're a woman? And I don't want to. Do you think it helps that you're a woman?
I think in some situations it does. Okay. I think it can either help or hinder. It depends where you are. I think in some countries where we're all sort of male dominated and there's sort of a real lack of respect for women, they don't take you seriously and they'll talk through your male director. But there are other situations where I look like a scruffy 20-year-old student, and they're like, oh, realistic, what's she gonna do, you know? So they guards so down stuff. And they talk in a way that perhaps they wouldn't if I was sort of stood there 50 years old with white hair and a navy suit. So I do think it sort of swings and roundabouts. I think in some situations
I also, you know, you're going into these conflict zones and you talked about wanting a family, and you know, how do you feel like that works with your job?
That's a really good question. I feel like
at the minute I'm more willing to put myself in dangerous situations because I haven't got babies. And, you know, it would be devastating if anything happened. But, you know, at the minute, I'm just my own woman. I think when I do, if I'm lucky enough, I mean, you just assume that you can have them. If I'm lucky enough to have babies, I don't think I will. I still want to show my baby that I'm strong and I'm, you know, principled and mum work. You know, mums have to work. I still will definitely work, but I'll be more selective in terms of where I go.
Right.
Yeah, you can't leave them, can you, to sort of fend for themselves?
So we've heard about the dynamite rat.
The rat. Mm-hmm.
You've been all around the world. Japan's been your favourite food. Mm-hmm. Any more food stories?
Any interesting food stories. I mean, India. You've been to India?
Yes.
Food in India is beautiful. Mm. But it doesn't matter how many times I go. I've probably been certainly 4 or 5
still
times.
Still get diarrhoea.
I'm so ill. Like, I can't keep it down. And there was a really embarrassing time. I was really, really poorly. I've also got this... I mean, I shouldn't really say this, but I've also got this issue where...
is it about your bowels?
I love talking about poo. So if I eat something...
Yeah, and you want to go straight away.
Well... If I need to go, I need
me too
to go.
I'm excited.
And I've been caught short a couple of times, like abroad. I've eaten really amazing foods. You know, it's like you sort of, I want to eat what the locals eat because I'm so cultured.
You're
and
mad.
I'm so, you know, I've got my finger on the pulse. I'm here and I want to eat. Anyway, so I go for it, showing off, eat.
Yeah.
And then I nearly need a shit.
Yeah.
And I've, a couple of times, like in India, like kind of on the street, like, and this beautiful little Indian woman sort of holding my hair, and I was being sick everywhere. And it was
I had
a sweet. You shitting fringe. At the same time?
I was shitting and being sick everywhere.
Mate.
Then.
That's a shocker.
Listen to this. When I was in. When I was in Thailand, Joyce, my director, she directed that as well. I said, Joyce, I'm fucking desperate for the toilet. I think I'd eaten like an insect off a stick or whatever. You know, in the markets.
Why? Are you mad?
I know, it's so silly. I'm like a glutton for punishment.
I just have a pad thai, babe.
Why can't you have mango sticky rice like everyone else? So I'd eaten, I'd been shown off the market. And then I said, Joyce, I really, really need the toilet. I'm desperate. She says, we can't stop here. We're on like, you know, them freeways in Bangkok, they've got like 800 lanes.
Anywhere.
So I couldn't stop. And it was traffic was mental. And I thought, and my friend Mabeen, who's a guy, we were in this big van. I said, oh, look, I need the toilet. And we had an ice box.
You know,
when there you keep the water and the cans. And I just said, look, can you all put the music on really loud and just put the windows down and just don't ever talk about this ever again. I took all the cans of drink out of the ice bucket, in the ice box and shit all in the ice box.
I respect that.
Yeah,
but what would you do?
And then I had the ice box, I had this ice box full of shit. And I was just sitting in the car with the ice box with shit on my lap because I couldn't throw it out. You know, I was on the freeway. And then I had to wait until we got to the hotel and empty it down the train.
Mate, I respect that. I thought pissing in a bottle in the back of a splitter was impressive. But no, that is far more impressive.
Shit in an ice box.
My aim was good in a bottle in the back of a splitter van.
But it's so hard. My
husband put poo in the fridge this week. A stool sample.
Oh, Jesse, stop it.
No, his shit.
Yes,
in my fridge when he's got a bug. He's talking about having a parasite from Goa. He has not got a parasite from Goa. And he's putting shit when I've got Stacey Dooley coming over.
Jesse, you've got Stacey fucking Dooley coming round.
So if you have a dicky tummy, blame my husband.
I know who to blame.
Yeah.
Sam too. the thing is with me, I never learn. It's like... I've just got bad tummy because it happened again. I mean, you would think once in your lifetime that would be enough, right? Shitting in a car in a box. Mm. When I was driving from Vegas to LA, sound really high end, but you know, with work, we and actually it was ST and I, we're sort of really going for it. We'd rented this
ST,
Mustang.
ST, personal training, Sam, boyfriend.
Yeah.
Just so we know.
And I had bought a pair of fancy shoes, like Philip Lim heels,
lovely,
because they were half price in this boutique
in
Vegas.
I'd
die for a bargain.
It's not what you spend, it's what you save, as my mum says.
It's true. You've got to select them pieces wisely. So I'd bought these shoes, really felt the part, and I'd kept them in the box because, you know, the box was lovely. And let's be honest, it's all about the packaging. So the roof was down, the music was on, sort of repping the UK, listening to our grime, showing off in my sunglasses, approaching LA on the freeway, and I need a shit. So I said to Sam, I haven't been in the toilet. So Stacey, you're not a child. Like, we'll literally be there in half an hour.
That's what people don't understand when you've got a bad tum.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I said, Sam, look, I don't want to kick off. I don't want to have a row on the freeway going into LA, but I really, really need a dump. Like, we're going to have to stop. So Stacey, I can't go anywhere. So I got the Philip Lim box. I got the shoes. And I said, can you put the roof up, please? I need some privacy. He said, you're outrageous. He said, I'm not going to be able to have sex with you for a very long time if I have to watch you shit in that box.
I love that your colleagues, you were like, put the windows down, please. Never talk about it. And you're like, put the roof up, like hot boxes, fucking vehicle.
I said, put the roof up. I said, put the windows up, put the roof up.
He should have stopped. Yeah.
He said there was nowhere to stop.
Oh, he could have stopped somewhere.
I'm with you, girl. But anyway, so I shit in the Philip Lim box. And Sam was totally mortified. And he was right, we didn't have sex for a few days because he probably couldn't look at me.
A few days? Oh, babe, that's nothing.
That's all right.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah, what about that? And there was sort of like an awkward silence for the next 4 to 6 hours because I was just so mortified.
I'm sorry, I'm the only one sleeping.
No, it's fine. I've got some pudding.
I feel like maybe Stacey Dooley may be rivaling Ed Sheeran on the helpings. Oh. If we're talking about forkfuls,
I mean,
how's a tiramisu going to go down now then?
I'm ready.
Should we do the pud?
Yeah, let's do the pud.
Okay. I mean, we can carry on with the chicken. Well, I'm so happy you're enjoying
it. Your husband's upstairs and he hasn't eaten.
Ah, fuck it.
Yeah.
He's going to have the gnocchi that the kid had.
He had lunch.
He has potatoes.
This is brilliant. It definitely isn't set, by the way, but it tastes really good.
Oh, my God, it's so lovely.
Are you at Latitude?
Yeah.
Because Jessie said... Please talk about this. I'm going to try and be quiet.
Are you there?
We're doing a live podcast.
We're doing the podcast.
We should have saved her for that.
Well, I can come watch you.
We can watch you headlining your tent.
We can watch each other.
We can cheer on.
I have been to one festival in my life and I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown.
I know, it's quite chaotic.
Part life. And the smell of the shit and the poo and then the mud.
It's a bit overwhelming.
It's a smell that you'll never forget, that combination.
Okay, listen. This is definitely not set.
It's such a nice time.
Now, I'm going to try and make this work.
That one's a bit, look, that works a little bit, but I am going to give you a bit of goo as well.
Yeah, no, you must. So you made this from scratch, yeah, yourself?
I did. I made it yesterday.
Have you always been into cooking?
I've been into eating.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you. And I love to eat. I had to cook. My mum's always been a great cook, so.
You have?
Yeah.
What's your dish?
I can cook anything, really.
She's talented. Do you know my issue with cooking? I get the genres mixed up, like the cuisines. So when I go to buy the ingredients, I buy Italian ingredients and Japanese ingredients and French, and nothing matches.
How do you get mixed up?
I panic.
Well, okay, can you give me an example?
Yeah, so I go into the supermarket and I stand there and I think, right, let me just get myself together. Let me just cook one meal, like the 31-year-old woman I am. And I get a couple of bits and then I just don't know what matches. I don't know what goes with what. So, like, I would make, like, a Japanese taco or something.
What about, like, just following a recipe?
But not in a trendy fusion way, like, in a naff
not
way.
Not Pan-Asian. What about following a recipe?
Will I? Yeah.
Like, that could help you.
Funny if there was a cookbook out, But I would. I could do with something like that. Yeah, like a really easy, basic, straightforward book. Because I also feel like they buy me these books and they say they're really easy, but they're not easy.
We've got tiramisu here, but you can't fault me on the flavour.
Oh, brilliant. What's in it? Coffee.
It's an Italian pudding. Have you ever had tiramisu?
I did go out with an Italian boy years ago.
Yeah.
And had a tiramisu.
Okay, so this is...
But yours is better.
Jessie, what's the hard chocolate?
The hard chocolate is melted chocolate. Why are you laughing?
Do you cook every night when you're at home?
Well, I did, and it's quite nice.
I love it.
Why is that not nice, having a bit of bite?
No, it's not normal.
Well,
it's working for me.
Yeah, piss off, Mum. Maybe it's because I put it in the fridge. And it's set. I don't know, but it's quite delicious.
Mm. Mm.
Do you have any manners in other people that you can't stand around the dinner table?
Yeah, I do actually. I don't like it.
Oh God, maybe I've done that.
No, you haven't.
I don't know whether I
do
it or not.
Such a together woman. You're apart and you've eaten tiny portions.
Yeah, that's me all round.
Tiny portion woman.
But I'm not massively into that, and I hate it when ST farts after dinner.
Oh, he farts after dinner. Well, is that like the sign of a good meal?
I think he'll have you believe that, Jesse. I think, get out. Go in the other room.
Well, you could shit in a basket of a convertible then. I'm sorry.
Fill it in box.
Don't try and outdo me.
Stacey Dooley, it has been the biggest pleasure having you.
I really mean that.
I don't want you to go back
to Brighton. No, I could live here.
You could.
I could move in.
You could.
I could live under this beautiful huge table.
No, I'll give you a
eat
room.
The scraps.
I'm very happy to have you. You've been the most wonderful guest. Please, everyone, watch Stacey. I feel like my listeners already watch your stuff. You're a joy and a brilliant journalist, and I respect you so much, and thank you so much for taking a chance on me and my mother.
Because I adore
you. I mean, you're my girl till the end now. We can hang out in Latitude.
Didn't even know who you were before.
No, but we go to Silent Disco at Latitude
with
my mum.
I'm dead. We could go to Silent Disco.
Thanks, Stacey.
Thank you.
Mum,
I'm sorry, I didn't know who the girl was before, but I know who the girl is now. And I loved her. And she'd call me girl all the time as well.
Girl.
She's absolutely gorgeous. I really, really liked her. She was so intelligent, so clever, so committed and interesting. She was a real woman's woman as well.
Yep.
Without banging the feminist drum.
It's got to be one of my favourite conversations over the dinner table. And my favourite was that she was sticking her fork in that platter.
Yeah.
Going for, I'd say, I watched her stick it in 5 times. Does that mean that she is now in the lead for helping?
I don't think she's on the leaderboard because it wasn't greed. It was just sheer enjoyment of the food. Darling.
And she felt really
she
comfortable
felt at
with
home.
Us.
I think she did. I don't know. Did she?
She did try and dooley us though, man.
What do you mean?
She kept on like being like, no, but tell me about you.
Well,
Amol and her have done this.
Well, they're broadcasters.
I know. But so are we, Mum, apparently.
Yeah. Jessie, you kept on thinking she had the S round her neck
for her boyfriend. I thought it was for Sam.
And she said at the outset, it's to remind me who I am in case I forget.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Okay.
I thought it was for ST.
But she still wears an Alice band with Tracy on.
I love that.
It's fine.
I know my tiramisu went to goo, but the flavour was all there.
I don't know what you can do. Your tiramisu went to goo.
Yeah, something like that. That is the end of this series of Table Manners.
How many have we done, darling?
We've done more than the first one.
God, I know.
Are you knackered?
Yep.
We've cooked
just
for a lot of
ready
people.
For the festivals now, darling.
If you have enjoyed this, please subscribe. We are going to leave you for a while, but we have plenty of previous episodes that you can listen to. And please star us. And again,
five star.
Uber, Mum, how are you doing?
I've gone up. Yeah. I've gone now up to 4.8.
Shit.
Yeah. I'm going to be a 5-star person soon.
Okay, well, I
have 4.8, darling.
I wonder if it's because I cancelled quite a few because I don't have the patience.
No, I think it's because I've decided to chat to all the Uber drivers about their lives.
And now that you're a broadcaster.
Now I'm a broadcaster.
We have some really exciting guests lined up for the next series.
Yes.
I mean, some pretty important figures.
Can you give us a clue?
It rhymes with oblique.
Okay, that's a very oblique clue. And yeah, so we've got a statesman, we've got a cook, a chef.
Yeah, some pop dance royalty.
We've got grime.
We got grime.
That's all I'm into, Jess.
Grime.
Yeah.
Just like Stacey.
Yeah, me and Stace.
Cheers for listening. Thank you for indulging us in this ridiculous idea that has now become
somewhat of a job, but the best job we've got. So yeah, we are loving this. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for season 3 coming as soon as we have time to feed people.
Baba, are you going to sing into the mic?
The heavy breathing.
Can you sing into the mic?
She sounds like a dirty phone.
She's going to sing for you. Go. Can't you just...
Yeah. Can you go?
Okay. You're just eating the mic.
Okay, bye. Good night.
The music on the show was created by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners was produced by Cup and Nuzzle.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.